Hello, I'm Goldie Sayers, Olympian and former javelin thrower, and welcome to a brand new series of Insider, the podcast from the UK Sports Institute. Yes, we've got a new name since we were last together, but we'll still bring you the same great content as we lift the lid on the science behind peak performance. And in this series, we'll be focusing on one particular topic. From periods to the perimenopause, sports bras to pregnancy and pelvic floors, we're shining a light on female athlete health and performance. So whether you're an elite sports person looking for advice, a coach seeking to learn more, or you're a weekend warrior who just wants to understand what's happening to your body, we've got a podcast for you. If you missed our previous series of Insider, all our episodes are available for free wherever you get your podcasts. There you'll find information about nutrition, sleep, sports psychology, and even what we can learn from failure. But as I said, this series is all about female athlete health and performance. And in episode one, we're focusing on the perimenopause. Now, my mum's generation might have referred to it as the change because it was somehow seen as being a bit of a taboo topic. But thankfully, considering so many of us will go through it or someone close to us will, it's something that's being talked about more and more. But what is it? What happens to our bodies during it and what impact could it have on our performance? Joining me to talk us through the possible highs and possible lows of the perimenopause and hopefully pass on some tips for how to navigate our way through it is Dr. Anita Biswas, Head of Sports Medicine at the UK Sports Institute and an expert in female athlete health and performance. Hi, Anita.
Hello, Goldie.
Anita, you've got first-hand experience of working with Olympic and Paralympic female athletes in your role with the UKSI. And the perimenopause is a topic that we're starting to hear a lot more about in wider society. But does it affect elite athletes too?
Yeah, so the assumption is always that athletes are not going to be affected by the perimenopause because generally we think of athletes being young. But when we think about Olympic and Paralympic athletes, there's certain sports where actually athletes come into their own and reach peak performance much later. And there's some sports where athletes can continue to compete for longer. So some of the sports, like, for example, canoeing and paracanoe, we've seen athletes are a bit older. Increasingly, we're seeing cyclists that could be a bit older. Sports such as archery and shooting and equestrian is a sport where athletes can continue to compete for quite a lot of years. It's also a bit of a myth that menopause happens at a certain time. Some women go through the menopause in their 30s, 20s, or even their teens. I mean, that's very unusual, the teens, but it's not unusual for women in their late 30s and early 40s to start experiencing symptoms.
And when we talk about perimenopause, what do we actually mean biologically, maybe versus menopause?
I always describe the perimenopause, rightly or wrongly, as backward puberty. So if you think about during puberty, where the female athlete hormones start increasing in levels and cycling through, creating a menstrual cycle, the reverse happens during the perimenopause. So a teenager's hormones to start with might be quite erratic, and their periods can be erratic, and the same thing happens during that perimenopausal period. And it's the period in time where the ovaries start reducing their function. So women are less likely to get pregnant. They can get pregnant. But it's the months and years leading up to the menopause. And the menopause, the definition of menopause, is the point at which it's 12 months since the last period.
Right.
So that perimenopausal period can last anything from 2 to 7, and in rare occasions, even as much as 10 years. And women often underestimate how long that might last, but also the age at which it might start happening.
And you said, obviously, it can happen at not any age, but more or less, you know, a broad range of ages. But what's the sort of average age for kind of perimenopause?
Yeah, so the average age for the UK for menopause is 51. So if you think about 2 to 6, 7, 8 years before that, women in their early to mid 40s could be starting to get some symptoms. And that could be much earlier than people expect. when I was growing up, it was always thought that menopausal women were old, and most women in their 40s don't consider themselves to be old. I think most women in their 60s don't either. But, you know, in your 40s, you're not even thinking that you're getting to that point where you'd be reaching the menopause. And so it's not unusual for women to be experiencing symptoms that they interpret as something else, like depression, anxiety, and the anxiety may well just be related to their hormonal changes.
So what are the main sort of symptoms of perimenopause, and are there sort of any unusual ones?
Yeah, I mean, everybody experiences a perimenopause in a slightly different way. The one that everybody talks about in the UK, we call them hot flushes. In America, they call them hot flashes. But effectively, it's when the temperature regulation of the woman becomes out of control. So typically, the woman might get very hot at night, and it tends to come as a huge wave rather than, oh, it's a lovely day, I feel a bit warm, oh, I'm getting a bit hotter. It can often come from nowhere, where the temperature regulation flips. It changes very, very quickly. But not all women experience that. Some women experience it in such a pronounced way that their color can change. They can be in the middle of work and suddenly they can't concentrate because they're so hot. And so that can be quite debilitating. But I think that if you ask anecdotally what women experience the most of, it's the change around the way they feel. And that can be being anxious. Anxiety is very, very common. Some women describe brain fog, forgetfulness. So more often going, we all walk into a room sometimes and realize we've forgotten what we came in for. But this becomes more common and more debilitating. It's not unusual for women to feel that they can't do their job anymore. And it's a common reason. Perimenopause is a common reason for women to leave their jobs, particularly if their jobs are quite senior, because they lose their confidence. They might find that they can't concentrate on some of the documents that they're being asked to look at or some of the work they're being asked to do. And often the same women are looking after children, and they could also be looking after elderly parents at the same point. So it's really easy for women to think that it's because they're just really busy that they feel the way they do, and to ignore the fact that there might be a hormonal reason for it.
And are there any other sort of strange symptoms? I heard a couple of friends who are of kind of perimenopausal age with tinnitus. Is that something that's often linked to perimenopause?
Well, it's certainly in some cases. I wouldn't say it's very common, but it can occur. So I actually do see women, not necessarily in the elite world, but I do see women who get a lot of joint pains, you know, not just general aches and pains. They can be very specific around tingling in the hand or pain in a shoulder with no pathology whatever to find. So joint pains are quite common. Another one that can be quite distressing for women in the society we live in is weight gain, but weight gain for no reason, not because they're eating more or they're sitting down more. Some women find that they just gain weight, and the distribution of that weight changes as well. If we kind of take it back to athletes, that can have a significant impact on how easy it is for them to perform. Right. But the other things that happen is that connective tissues become stiffer. So women are more likely to get tendon injuries and find that they've got a tendon, like an Achilles tendinopathy. Ligaments can become a bit laxer. So they're more likely to damage ligaments. And also the skin gets thinner. And that's when women can find that their skin gets older apparently quite quickly.
And what's happening in the body around the perimenopause that would mean that a female puts on a lot of weight out of nowhere?
Yeah, so there's a number of things that happen. So the big change is the loss of estrogen. So estrogen cycles throughout the woman's life once they get past puberty, but effectively it drops off a cliff at the perimenopausal period. And estrogen is very protective. It protects against a lot of things. So it protects against heart disease. So women who haven't been through the menopause rarely have a heart attack, but it can become quite common after the menopause. The other thing estrogen protects is our bones. It helps us with bone turnover. The problem when estrogen drops is that those bones can thin And so postmenopausal women are much more likely to have fractures of their wrists and their hips caused by thinning of the bones, and they may develop osteoporosis. So it's the loss of estrogen that's really, really important here in terms of some of those body changes and the changes in the tissues and the changes in the ligaments and things.
And you mentioned, obviously, you still have periods during this time, but what happens to those periods during the perimenopause?
Yeah, so everybody, again, is different, but often women find that their periods become much heavier. So things like flooding can become much more common, and their periods can become much more frequent. Everyone thinks that their periods will just slow down and gradually stop, but they tend to have a last little hurrah before they do that. And some women find that they can be having periods that are lasting 2 or 3 weeks, or that they have a period that's 3 or 4 days and then only 2 days break before the next one. And it can be really intrusive if a woman's having very heavy periods, and during that time, they can also develop things like anemia because they're bleeding so heavily. Not everybody experiences that, but for some women, it can be very difficult.
I mean, it's obviously great to be a woman, isn't it, Anita? Are there any positives to this period of life?
I think, look, there's a reason for it. If we think biologically, the reason why women go through the menopause is because there's a point at which nature wants, biology wants us to stop reproducing and helping our children by looking after their children. And that's the biology. That's why men can continue to conceive when women come to an end of that. And for some women who have horrible, horrible periods all their life, actually, they get to a point where they don't have periods anymore. So the positive is periods stop and you don't have to think about the impact of your periods on your performance or on your everyday life. Things like premenstrual tension can go, which can be a positive for some people. And after the menopause, that kind of hormonal instability, that variation can come to an end. So yeah, I think there are positives, both in terms of nature and the reason why it does it to us, and also in the impact that can have on people who have really difficult periods.
Okay, and if we take it perimenopause back to athletes, how does perimenopause affect athletes in particular as a population?
Yeah, very similar in the terms that you know weight gain is more common, where an athlete will be potentially very aware of their weight. Because of the impact on carrying non-functional mass, i.e. fat mass, when you're trying to compete at the top level in certain sports. So psychologically, it can be really difficult if a woman's gained weight and they've done everything right. They feel like they're eating the right performance foods. They're still training regularly. The weight gain can be a problem for them, although it probably doesn't affect their performance as much as they think it does. For them, psychologically, it might do. Athletes will find potentially that they need more recovery. So the body needs more recovery after exercise. And if we've got athletes that are training with younger athletes on the same training program, which we do see, and no account is taken into the fact that they're around that perimenopausal age, then they may not be recovering and then they might get ill or injured more easily. So that's something that athletes do need to think about. So that training program that they always done all their life may not be the right one for them when they get into that perimenopausal phase. And I talked about stiffness in tendons and ligaments thinning a little bit. And so the important thing around tendon stiffness is that athletes are more likely to get pain in their tendons. They're more likely to get the joint pains that they've never had for any reason, only the same amount as a woman who wasn't an athlete, but it might have more impact on an athlete. They also have increased medical conditions. So that loss of estrogen, as I said, estrogen is protective against heart disease. And I can think of a not insignificant number of very athletic people who may have retired from their athletic career, but have ended up having heart disease or heart attacks when they got into their 50s, and insulin resistance. So the loss of insulin has an impact on insulin resistance. So women become more insulin resistant, and that encourages the weight gain around their middle.
Okay. So there's a lot that the perimenopause can have an impact on just in general health.
Yeah.
So are there any other diseases that it would impact?
The other thing that can happen around that age is inflammatory conditions. So it can affect their bowel health as well. So sometimes women find that they develop things like irritable bowel. So they don't metabolize their food. They don't absorb their food quite as well. So that can give them irritable bowel symptoms, which again is uncomfortable. And if you're performing and you've got discomfort, then that can have an impact on your ability to perform at the top level.
And so obviously we've got a lot of symptoms that can occur during perimenopause, but how can we treat it? Is it just a case of drugs, or are there other things that athletes and non-athletes can do?
Yeah, I think, look, there's lots of things that you can do, and everybody's menopause is different. And the first thing I would say is to talk to their doctor, talk to their support team, or if you're not an elite athlete and you don't have access to that, talk to your GP. There's certainly, because of insulin resistance, athletes may find that they don't need to eat as much carbohydrate and they don't process it as well. And actually that they need to slightly change their diet to increase their protein to help them to retain muscle mass. One of the things they may need to consider is increasing their calcium intake to help protect their bones. So there are things around nutrition, and nutrition's really, really important at this time. The other thing that they might want to think about is the rest and recovery side of things. So a real challenge can be sleep for women who are having hot flushes or who are experiencing anxiety. It's having good practice around sleep to try and reduce anxiety and sleep deprivation, which impacts on how quickly an athlete might recover. So just things like an athlete may never have been using yoga or meditation, but they might find during that perimenopausal period that they want to start thinking about relaxation techniques that they've not needed before to help them to sleep better. They might find that they need to put their phone outside the door of their bedroom, whereas previously it didn't have that impact, using their phone before they went to sleep, to try and maximize their sleep. And they might need to talk to their coach about actually training on slightly fewer days, because that may be the way that they actually get a better response by having more rest.
There may be, you know, a lot of athletes listening to this who might think, you know, we're talking about perimenopause, it's, you know, years off. But is there anything they can be doing to kind of arm themselves better for the future to prepare for perimenopause, or perhaps delay it? Or, you know, is there anything that we can be doing?
Yeah, I think it's probably not possible to delay it. You know, it's largely genetic. But being healthy, eating healthily, having a good, healthy, balanced diet is really, really important. But I think there's certain things that they can do to help protect themselves from things like the bone thinning and osteoporosis that we talked about. If an athlete needs to make sure that they've got good bone density by making sure that they have a good, healthy diet and that they're not having too little food for their training needs. Because if they lose bone early on in their life, that's going to have a bigger impact when they start going through the menopause. So that's one thing they can do to protect themselves, is make sure that their bone health is really good through their life. In terms of heart disease, again, if they are aware that they've got a family history of heart disease, it's discussing it with their doctors around, you know, how they manage that heart disease and making sure they're eating the right foods and managing their weight. But most athletes do that anyway. So that's quite important. Another thing is around, so if we know around perimenopause that insulin resistance happens, just not being a sugarholic is a really good thing that you can have through your life. If you reduce your sugar intake when you're young and maintain that as a habit as you get older, then you're less likely to be impacted by the insulin resistance, as your body doesn't respond to carbohydrates so well. So that's something to consider as well. And then the probably number one thing I would say to everybody is just be aware of it, because almost all the women I know, a lot of whom are doctors, didn't recognize the symptoms. They all thought they were going slightly mad. And unless you get the typical hot flushes, it's really easy to miss. And I have friends that have given up jobs, not been able to cope with their job, and not recognized that it was the menopause that was the issue. They've been taking antidepressants because they've not recognized that actually their anxiety and mood disorder was hormonal, and their GP hasn't recognized it. Although I think GPs are becoming more and more aware, and as are women. So just arming yourself with knowledge is really, really important. And I think women in their 20s and 30s should already be arming themselves with knowledge, because then they won't miss it if it does happen to happen younger for them.
And we've talked a lot about perimenopause. When does perimenopause become menopause?
Yes.
And what are the main symptoms of, or the difference perhaps, and the main symptoms of that?
So the main thing is that the menopause is 12 months after the periods stop. And typically what happens is that the symptoms of the perimenopause start to settle. And that's caused by estrogen. It's gone through the drop off the cliff stage and it's just settled at a much lower level. This is assuming you don't take HRT. So the estrogen levels settle at a lower point, and it's not that the hormone levels aren't cycling and being erratic. They've just settled at a lower level. So a lot of the symptoms of the perimenopause is because that erratic nature of the hormones, estradiol and progesterone. Once that settles and once the periods have stopped for 12 months, a lot of those symptoms can stop. For some women, they go on for a little bit longer. And it's not unusual for women to think they're through it. Everything's stopped. Hot flushes have gone away. They feel all right. And then suddenly they have a little phase where it all starts again. And they're, oh, I thought that was all over, but now it's come back. So that's not unusual. But generally, the kind of the turmoil settles after the menopause. I mean, there are other things that can be associated with the menopause, but the turmoil of the hormones has settled.
So some great tips from you on perimenopause, but I just want to bust some myths now. So we're going to do some quick fire questions with some short answers in response, hopefully, and maybe some true or falses. But I will start with this one. So menopause begins at 50. True or false?
False.
We know that.
Perimenopause is the beginning of menopause. So the average age for menopause is 51, but that doesn't mean that your menopause will be at 51. It could be anywhere between 45 and 55 probably. But the perimenopausal symptoms can happen much earlier.
Okay, next one. You're likely to go through the menopause at the same age as your mother.
Well, this is quite an interesting one, because it is fairly true that people often do follow the pattern of their mother, from the point of view that women whose mothers had an earlier menopause, earlier rather than early, often will have an earlier menopause, but it doesn't necessarily follow. And if you've got three daughters in a family, they could have very different menopauses, and their perimenopausal symptoms can start at completely different times.
Okay, so the perimenopause, or the first sign of perimenopause, is hot flushes.
Generally, that's the first sign that people notice, because it's such a well-advertised symptom. But usually there's been lots of symptoms before that that they've not really recognized as being the perimenopause. So I would call that false in most people's cases. In some cases, it's true.
Okay, so next one, the menopause or perimenopause gives you weak bones.
Yeah, so the loss of estrogen does thin your bones for sure. If you start with weaker bones, your bones will become weaker. So it's not the menopause itself, it's that loss of estrogen that thins the bones, but you can do things to protect them. And I think this is not inevitable to end up with low bone density. And I certainly know people in their 50s who, despite going through the menopause, have got good, strong bones because they've made sure they do impact exercise and resistance training, which both help strengthen their bones through their whole adult life. And that's where one of the ways, if we're talking about people who are younger, they can make sure they do resistance and impact loading through their life. And that gives them good, strong bones to start with. If you're starting at a good point, you won't go quite as far back as if you start at a low point in terms of your bone thinness. So estrogen does weaken the bones, but it's not inevitable that it's impactful on you.
Okay, and the next one. The older you are when you start your period, the older you'll be when you start menopause.
No, it doesn't work like that, I'm afraid. So some people have start their periods young and then have a late menopause. It's not directly related.
Okay, and the last busting myths question, the only way to get through menopause is to take hormones.
Yeah, so It's not the only way, and lots of women don't need to take any hormones at all. Hormone replacement therapy is a really good treatment for women who have troublesome symptoms, but not all women have troublesome symptoms. The other thing that hormone replacement therapy can be good for is if you need to prevent some of the diseases that are associated with being in the postmenopausal period. So, for example, if you've got a woman whose bone density is low, or they have a strong family history of osteoporosis, then they might, regardless of the fact they get no symptoms of the perimenopause, then they may want to take HRT. Having said that, HRT can be a godsend for a lot of women, and provided there's not a contraindication, a reason why they can't take it, women shouldn't be afraid to take a hormonal treatment to help them through that period of time. It's certainly, for lots of women, a lifesaver.
Brilliant. And Anita, you've given us some absolutely top tips, but what would you say are your top two or three tips on getting through the perimenopause and menopause?
Okay, I've got three maybe. My first one is be aware of it. Arm yourself with information long before it happens, because before you know it, and from personal experience, it never even occurred to me that I was going through the menopause or the perimenopausal period when I had symptoms. And I would say the same for other doctors I know. So it's probably no different for everybody else. So know what you're looking for. Don't think you're going mad, because you're not. It's a change that happens. My second top tip is to not be afraid to go to your doctors and talk to your doctor. They won't necessarily give you HRT, but don't be afraid of it if it's the right treatment for you. And there was another one, which perfectly explaining what the menopause does to you.
I reckon it might be around an insulin, because I'm gutted that I'm going to have to stop eating sweets in my, well, very soon.
Yeah, well, I think that is probably a top tip, but it doesn't affect everybody. And I think we shouldn't eat sweets really anyway. Sugar is bad for you.
Oh, you heard it here first.
Okay. My third top tip is, as you get older, increase your resistance training. If you don't like going to the gym, find a way to weight train. It helps insulin resistance. So it will help you to maintain your weight, but it will also keep you strong and independent and protect your bones.
Fantastic. Thank you very, very much, Anita.
You're welcome.
What a great way to kick off the new series, whatever phase of life you're at as you listen to this podcast. I hope you learn a lot. If you enjoyed that episode and found it useful, then there's plenty more to come in this special series on female athlete health and performance. So if you haven't already, why not give this podcast a follow so you don't miss an episode? And if you want to carry on the conversation or get in touch with a topic you'd like us to cover, let us know. Find us on social media, UK Sports INST on Twitter and Instagram. We'll unpack more fascinating insights from the UKSI on the next episode of Insider. In the meantime, thanks for listening, and we'll catch up soon.